SBS News, The Global Link. The Bank of Zambia reduces policy rate to 14.25%. The Movement for National Renewal warns Zambians against falling for quick fix promises ahead of 2026. And wife and son of Gabon's ousted leader given 20-year jail terms in two-day corruption trial. Good afternoon. With the lunchtime news at 13, I'm Angel Kasavo. The Bank of Zambia has reduced the monetary policy rate by 25 basis points, bringing it down from 14.5% to 14.25% for the fourth quarter of 2025. Bo's Governor Denny Kalialia says the decision follows a steady decline in inflation, which has fallen from above 16% earlier this year to 11.9% in October. Speaking during a media briefing in Lusaka today, Dr. Kalialia said the move is aimed at supporting economic activity while maintaining overall price stability. He noted that the adjustment is also expected to influence lending institutions and promote lower borrowing costs in the financial sector. This marks the first policy rate cut in 5 years, with the last reduction made in August 2020 when the rate was lowered from 9.25% to 8%. Mining expert Edward Simukonda has called on government to provide statistics to support Vice President Mtalena Lumango's recent statement that illegal mining activities are reduced in Mumbwa's Nangoma area. His remarks come a day after Mrs. Nalumango visited Mumbwa District to commission the X-Point Gold Processing Plant, where she expressed happiness over what she described as a decline in illegal mining activities in Nangoma area. But speaking in an interview with RCV News in Lusaka today, Mr. Simukonda said while the Vice President's remarks were encouraging, it was important for government agencies to back such claims with data. While government's efforts should be appreciated to formalize the artisanal mining sector, it is equally important to show evidence of progress, as the public needs to know how much illegal mining has actually reduced, said Mr. Simukonda. Mr. Simukonda, however, noted that without concrete figures, it would be difficult to assess the true impact of the measures being implemented. He said if the number of illegal miners has dropped, the public should be able to see those figures reflected in enforcement records, stating that data helps build public confidence and guides policy decisions. He said that if the number of illegal miners has dropped, the public should be able to see figures reflected in enforcement records, stating that data helps build public confidence and guides policy decisions.
I wouldn't agree totally with the Vice President. My question would be, where are the statistics that show that, you know, there were 50, now there are 3 or there are 5 that they reduced? There are no statistics at all. For me, it would have been best if, you know, statistics were given to say, you know, there was this number of people, now it's this. But there's nothing to prove that.
Constitutional lawyer and founder of the Movement for National Renewal, John Sangwa, has cautioned Zambians against voting for politicians who offer quick fix solutions ahead of the 2026 general elections. Mr. Sangwa said Zambia will never achieve meaningful development if citizens continue to vote for leaders who focus on temporary solutions instead of addressing the root causes of the country's challenges, which he attributed to failed institutions across various sectors. Speaking when he featured on Christian Voices chatback program in Lusaka today, Mr. Sangwa said many of the problems Zambia faces, including load shedding, delayed payments to farmers, and the lack of benefits for miners, stem from institutional failures under successive governments. No matter who Zambia votes for next year, if institutions are not fixed, the problems will persist, said Mr. Sangwa. He explained that the Movement for National Renewal aims to overhaul the entire governance system as a way to permanently resolve the country's long-standing challenges once it forms government. Mr. Sangwa emphasized the need to appoint competent and accountable individuals to lead public institutions, saying this is the first and most critical step towards ensuring that the mistakes of the past are not repeated.
And what is it that he possesses that makes us believe? First of all, how much does he understand about the governing, how this country is supposed to be governed? How much does he understand about the constitutional order? Because he's going to be president and head of state. So how much does he understand about our system of government to elect him? So you elect a president who is clueless, that's what you get. So the responsibility to answer that question is, that is why I've given you this example. We don't do doba-doba when it comes to our nannies, our garden boys. We don't do doba-doba. Why should we do doba-doba when it comes to MPs, presidents, and...
Zambia has reaffirmed its commitment to high-integrity global carbon markets by joining the Coalition on Growing Carbon Markets during the ongoing COP30 climate conference in Brazil. The announcement was made by Minister of Green Economy and Environment, Mike Mposha. Mr. Mposha restated Zambia's views on the carbon market as a pivotal catalyst for mobilizing climate finance, accelerating the delivery of the country's nationally determined contribution targets, and unlocking inclusive green growth. Zambia believes that a well-functioning market makes a significant contribution in raising climate ambition and is an important source of innovative financing that spurs economic growth, said Mr. Mposha in a statement issued to RCV News in Lusaka today. He highlighted Zambia's recent adoption of its national carbon market framework, which has now been converted into robust legislation and regulations and enables the environment by providing a predictable and transparent process, attracting private investment into high-impact mitigation projects, both beneficial to people and the planet. Mr. Mposha also emphasized the importance of trust and transparency, noting that Zambia, as a country implementing both Article 6 cooperative approaches and voluntary carbon market frameworks, shares the coalition's vision to strengthen its elements across global carbon markets. We now join Chela Silwambo with the latest on the money markets.
It is a good afternoon to our listeners on your number one radio station. Usual update for you midweek, straight into currency market. I'm looking at the Kwacha picked some strides again. It was sort of hitting 23. They've slammed it down to 22.68 FNB at 22.73 Access Bank. These are the upsa on 22.4 buying, and of course selling almost 22.68 as well. So Kwacha appreciating there. And international market, 135 is the pound, 1.15 euro, 7.11 Chinese one, and 154.83 Japanese yen. Whatever Japanese car you're driving now, that's the rate, 88.63 Indian rupee, mama, Zambia, tata, India. And for those interested in commodities, I'm looking at the Brent crude trading at 64.61, JPO 60.47. The 548 is the wheat. I believe our farmers are really hammering the combine harvest to get it out of the way. The rains are there. 432 is the corn. 1132, that is soybeans. And cocoa lava 6001. The turn and gold has gone up 4125.21. That is an ounce. And the copper price, 10824.00 per ton. And of course, 15010 Snake. We have a lot of it in Solwezi, Lumwana. And of course, stock markets are 4045 is 1,284 as in Dow Jones, and London Stock Exchange 989.76. Vis a vis Lusaka Stock Exchange, very strong on 2555.83. Those scanty from yesterday's trade. So, to all of you interested where the currency market is, Rand does depreciate actually. You're getting appreciates rather, getting less against the dollar. 13.13 on that beat, and I'm looking at the T-bills underway on tomorrow and results on a Friday. So you're looking at the Kwacha picking up TB tax obligations, T-bills under. I think I did it get on a Sunday evening on the program there. So all in all, we have a strong Kwacha with us. It is here to stay, I believe. When it hits 12.23, they work it down to 12.22 plus. Enjoy your entire lunch. It is bye-bye.
Thank you, Chela, for that update. In Africa News, a court in Gabon has sentenced the former first lady and the son of deposed President Ali Bongo to 20 years in jail following a two-day trial. On Tuesday night, Sylvia Bongo and Noureddin Bongo were found guilty of embezzlement and corruption after a trial that began a day earlier in their absence. They were both fined $177,000, with Noureddin ordered to pay an extra $2.1 million for financial damages suffered by the Gabonese state. They were accused of exploiting Ali Bongo's condition after he suffered a stroke in 2018 to run Gabon for their